everyone. Thanks for joining us this week on the Master Instructor Roundtable. I'm Master Instructor Marty Miller here with co-host, fellow Master Instructor, Miss Wendy Batts. Wendy, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Marty. How are you?
Excited to be here live on Leap Year Day, right? So February 29th happens once every 4 years. So why wouldn't we take this opportunity to give a unique topic on extra time? Because today, in theory, is an extra day of the year.
You know, and I always say, I wish I had one more hour in a day to get so-and-so done. And now I have 24 hours on an extra day, and it was just as busy as every other day that I have on my schedule. So that didn't work out the best way.
After today, when we go through what this day is and some different concepts on how to be efficient, Wendy, no more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get right on that. But no, Marty, you know, I find it interesting when you take time and you really think about why do we have, you know, February 29th and why it's so sporadic, you know, it's every, like you said, every 4 years. And it's interesting when you actually look at the research and the studies behind why this day exists. I'm like, huh. And so I'm excited to dive in. Again, we are live. So as you guys are listening, first of all, thank you for joining us. And B, if you have questions for Marty and I as we go through the content, please put it in the chat and we will do our best to get those answered before the end of our podcast.
Awesome. So first and foremost, why did we put this together? Well, we're going to discuss the concept of Wendy Batts. I'm too busy. Right. And we're all that way, Wendy. I like picking on you. But again, I you know me, I'm a person of lists and I'm crossing things off and adding. And it's like I crossed off 12 and I added 13. So we're getting there. But also, how do we create plans to be highly effective and highly successful? I'm a very regimented. I like my patterns and my, you know, consistency, and that helps me be as efficient as I can be. So we're going to discuss some of the things today and see what questions come in. But the key thing is create that to-do list because there are so many things to do.
Always. So let's talk about the history. So instead of 28 days, as you know, today is February 29th. So we actually have an extra day this year. And there is some reasoning behind it. And so if you look at a calendar year, it's typically 365 days. We learned that in kindergarten. And we, you know, we've called that commonly or the common years. And we use that loosely to define the amount of days in one calendar year, which is where the Earth takes one complete orbit around the sun. So with that being said, it doesn't take just 365 days for that to happen. It takes the Earth 365.242190 days to orbit the sun, or 365 days, 5 hours and 48 minutes, and of course, 56 seconds. So over time, that's going to add up. And so the tropical year is slightly longer than the calendar year. And that extra 5 hours, 48 minutes and 56 seconds needs to be accounted for somehow. So what they've done is, you know, they've taken it and they put it in every 4 years. Now, the reason being is if we didn't do that, the seasons would begin to drift over time. So if we look 700 years from now, which I won't be around, but you never know what will happen within technology and research. You know, instead of having our summer that we would expect in June, it would then begin in December. So this is the stuff that I love. It's the little things like that in life, Marty.
Right. It was fun researching it. And, you know, yeah. I've been to South Africa where their seasons are different, right? So it is an interesting concept on, you know, how this thing spins around the sun, right? So when you look at busy people, I've said this on many podcasts before. And, you know, from my research, Benjamin Franklin definitely has been quoted with this. I'm sure there's others, but if you want to determine someone's priorities, watch their actions. And if you want something done, ask a busy person, like, because they don't have time to sit around. Like, it's got to get done. So maybe, Wendy, that's why you and I get so much thrown at us, because they're like, ah, they're busy, but they'll get it done. Mm-hmm. So I love those two comments. You know, I think they're very apropos, and I think that they really do tell the story.
I think it's so true. Because I think that I'm busier than some people around my household, and I still get it done.
I know those people in that household. But, you know, the key thing, though, Wendy, is when the first part, if you want to determine someone's priorities, watch their actions. I get my workouts in like 95% of the time. It's a priority, right? So when people say they're too busy for fill in the blank, well, are you too busy because there's other things that take up your time for your priorities? Or are you simply too busy? Generally speaking, most of us can put time in for things that we value and find important, no matter what that is.
Very true. But I think that's, you know, when we're looking now at strategies, and Marty, this is something, especially I'm a very type A person. If you guys don't know me, you've never seen me. I'm like Marty, I like things structured. However, my structure doesn't always happen because my days are so different every week. So I can't say every Monday it's always like this and every Friday it always ends this way. So when we're looking at these different strategies, you have to kind of think about what is going to be the best for you. However, if you have a plan and you do have a strategy and you start executing that, you realize how much time you spent wasted and you didn't really know about it until you did something along these lines. So that's why I love talking about these next strategies. But first, we're going to talk about time boxing, and it's a goal-oriented time management strategy where you complete work within, quote, time boxes. This strategy is particularly effective if you aren't sure how much time you're spending on each task and want to approach your to-do list more intentionally, hence the word intentionally. So this helps you break down large tasks into smaller pieces and then complete those pieces in a reasonable amount of time. And before I have you kick it back to you, Marty, if I know someone that has OCD and has time management issues, this is an unbelievable strategy for someone that fits that time or that kind of, personality. And so, and the reason being is because if you kind of put things in a box and you say, listen, they get overwhelmed, this helps break it down into something that's not as overwhelming. And then it becomes more reasonable and it doesn't scare them into like, I just don't even want to approach it and not do it. So this is something that I've seen personally to be very, very beneficial in someone in my family.
Right. And it's all about efficiency. I'm a big fan of efficiency. A lot of the businesses that I will, patronize, they're ones that are efficient. I can't stand wasting time, because at the end of the day, that's one of the things you can't get back, right? Is you need to be efficient with your time. So I've talked to a lot of people on my coffee talks or other podcasts when they're like, you know, I'm studying for the exam. Well, we know the majority of people studying for the CPT exam have a different career already and or have a family. If you don't time block, as another way I would say it, or time box your study time, not going to happen, right? Because life, again, going back to the priorities, you got to pay your bills, you got to feed your family, you got baseball, t-ball, this, that. You better find a block of time that you commit to, that you know you can get at, whether it's 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock at night, and put that slot in there for those type of things. And you'll see that you'll start to accomplish these goals and get them done. But if you're just trying to shuffle through your day and hoping you eventually get to that on your list, it's probably not going to make it because of a lot of other reasons. And that's where we see a lot of people who are trying to get their CPT out of the way. They don't use this strategy to make sure that they're consistently studying throughout the week. And then their 6 months goes by and then they're in kind of a panic mode or frustrated. This strategy right here will absolutely increase your chance of completing and passing your CPT.
Yep. So here we go. So time blocking is going to be similar to time boxing, but instead of scheduling specific time for each individual task, you're going to practice blocking offset periods within your calendar for related work. So when you're using time blocking, again, different than what we just talked about to schedule your work, you're effectively going to break this down. And so that's one of the reasons why we have all this stuff defined here, because now we're breaking it from week into like specific time slots so you can work on the projects. You're going to be able to have within that project, when are you communicating with your coworkers? When are you going to take a break? Or when are you going to exercise? Like, this allows you, and I love the color coding too, because I think, you know, that's important to highlight what's coming up. But this can help you dedicate more time to your flow and dive deeper into your work. And this will help you focus. So again, if you're, you know, you feel like you can't focus, this is a really good way of doing that, because then you're not as interrupted. And so you want to think but this is important too. You have to make sure that you're allowing these different time blocks to be when it's going to be realistic, where you're not going to get interrupted, or that you can, you know, put your phone aside, or you don't care about checking how many likes you got on social media or who's following you on Instagram. So I think this is another really good strategy. And I'm a big fan of color coordinating things. I don't really color coordinate anything besides my stickies. So I've got different stickies. Like when I say that, like different colors of, for different things. So I don't know if you guys can see.
Are we going to do a podcast on what color means what?
No, that's my business.
We might help somebody else. I'm just saying. Don't you know. Just...
You pick your colors and then make sure when you're doing something, is it for family? Is it for work? Is it for whatever it is? Okay. And then.
There you go. Cool. No, I think that that's important. You know, and the key thing too is I will also put multiple spots in my schedule on something I don't want to spend an hour and a half straight on because I know my personality. If I got to write something or do something, I'll put a half hour at the beginning of the day, a half hour in the middle of the day, and a half hour at the end of the day, instead of trying to do an hour and a half straight through, because I know that that's just not the way my mind ticks to dive in. I'm better off touching and going and touching and going and coming back and being fresh in a sense every 30 minutes on something new. But if I don't have a schedule, it's easy to get off track. So,
which is funny, Marty, because I'm the opposite. Like if I'm on a roll, I can't break that up. I've got to focus. So I may put like a huge time block of 3 hours because if I'm writing a chapter or writing something like that, I've got all the stuff research. I don't want to like forget what I'm doing or where I'm at. So it's just fascinating how different, but the same we are.
As long as we get it done. But for those of you just joined on today's Master Instructor Roundtable, Marty Miller here with my co-host Wendy Batts. And we're taking the opportunity on the February 29th to talk about some strategies on why we have extra time today, but really using this to go back for the rest of the year and talking about what we can do to be the most efficient as possible. So we're just going to slide back here one slide. We just got ahead of ourselves a tiny bit. We're going to talk about another method called the Pomodoro method. So this one, I'll read through the highlights here. So for those of you that are watching, you can read it here and listen in if you're just listening to us today. So this method, the Pomodoro method, helps tackle work within short time frames. I'm liking this already. And then you take breaks between working sessions. This time management strategy is particularly helpful because it actively encourages you to take breaks, which are good for intrinsic motivation. So the research has suggested that taking breaks makes people more creative. So I'll continue on here in a second, but that's where I think, Wendy, when we were talking about what I do is I'm real good for that 25, 30 minutes and I put out some impactful work. And then when I start to feel like kind of dull and I'm forcing it, even if I don't take a break like fully, I take a shift into another topic or another activity. And then by the time I come back, it works for me. So this method, you definitely need a timer, prioritize the to-do list. Now, we all have our iPhones with us at all time. Very easy to talk to Siri and tell her to set a timer. So about 25 minutes is a good time, right? Plus or minus, depending on you. But you then spend that time exclusively dedicated to working on that specific task. No checking text message, social media. Then when that time's up, if you need to schedule a 5-minute break, that's when you could go outside, take a quick phone call, check your social media, do something like that. But it's very dialed in on when and how you're going to do it. Then you can repeat this process of working for 25 and taking a 5-minute break. And then maybe after 4 of those sessions, you take a longer break. So you get to do those things that distract you, but you know that they're coming at a very specific time. So hopefully for that 25 minutes out of 30, you're highly impactful, highly focused in getting your stuff done.
Yep. And I've tried all different strategies when you said you were going to do this. And I realized how much time I waste doing just things that are important to me, but it wasn't on the to-do list where I took away from what really needed to get done. And then it was like stressing towards the finish line to make sure that, you know, something got done that if I wouldn't have vacuumed the house or if I wouldn't have done this really quick or, oh, I needed to take this call. Right. You know, it happens.
Happens to the best of us.
All right. So strategy 4, eat the frog. So for you guys that are driving, we have a picture of old Mark Twain. Our producer said he didn't even know what he looked like as he aged. So you need to make sure that you download this podcast and check it out. But Mark Twain here has famously said, it's your job to eat a frog. It's best to do it first thing in the morning. The Eat the Frog time management strategy takes inspiration from this quote and encourages you to tackle big or complex tasks the first thing before working on less important or less urgent tasks. The strategy is going to help you split your day between regular daily work and high priority tasks. And Marty, I definitely am more creative in the morning. I'm brushing my teeth and I'm like, oh, and I'm thinking about like an email or I'm thinking about like a Word document that I have to put together. First thing in the morning, I'm like, oh, and then I start thinking about the topic and then how I can start it out. And it's one of those things where then I grab my phone and kind of dictate it because I'm like, I'm going to forget this when I sit down in front of my computer. So I'm definitely more creative in the morning.
Well, there's definitely different strategies, and it's interesting. I can understand the concept of doing the biggest, most complex, and most impactful first thing, whether that's first thing in the morning or whatever. But for me, it's interesting. I'm always ahead of schedule in my timelines, but there's something about my brain. I like to check a bunch of things off the box, because if I see this long list, even though they're going to be quicker, I start to get a little anxiety and it's hard for me to focus on the big one. So we're not saying that all these strategies are going to be perfect for you, but it's which strategy do you find that works for your mindset? Which strategy makes you the most effective? But I can understand where if there's something big that, you know, is going to take a lot of time or is urgent, yes, that should be a priority. I just think that I get so far ahead by nature that I don't ever have that pressure where I'm like, I have to get this massive thing done today, because I've been kind of chipping away at it all the time. And like a perfect example is I have 3 presentations to do at Ideal World. That's not till what, June or July. On my desktop, I've got all 3 of them framed in, and I'll spend 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, grab a couple pictures here. So when I really need to complete it, it's kind of already laid out. And I don't have that pressure where I have to take this strategy. So out of all the ones, this is one of the strategies that I find myself not utilizing quite as much.
Yep.
But I am a morning person. You know that.
I do know that. And today on the Master Instructor Roundtable with myself, Wendy Batts, and Marty Miller, we are talking about extra time. And today we are lucky enough to have that extra day of the year. Some people are finding it to be very helpful and kind of took the day to kind of decompress and get things that they don't normally have time to do done. I, on the other hand, treated it like another day with a crazy, crazy schedule. So we've talked about why there's that extra day within the year. We've talked about different strategies. And Marty, why don't you lead us into the strategy number 5 here?
Yeah. So this is a very common business strategy, and I'll go through it and then I'll talk about how you could see it used differently. It's the 80-20 principle, by some people call it. It's the Pareto principle by name. So if eating the frog, as we just talked about the first morning, doesn't sound appetizing, you might prefer the Pareto theme time management strategy. So this principle is the opposite of eat the frog method. The strategy encourages you to get quick tasks out of the way so you can feel more accomplished and motivated as you head into the day. That tends to work for me. Often called the 80-20 rule. So this principle has one fundamental rule. You spend 20% of your time on 80% of your work. If you can get those 80% of your tasks out of the way in relatively quick order, you free up your workday to tackle the 20% of work that will take 80% of your time. So I tend to think this way is how my brain works, but I've seen this 80-20 principle work differently in business. 20% of your efforts is going to produce 80% of your income. 20% of your employees produce 80% of the work. So this theory can kind of be moved around a little bit differently, but it is something that I think speaks to me more here, efficiency strategy number 5. Compared to 4, this is how my brain kind of works. I love just chipping away at things and helping me free up my day.
Yeah, I don't know. I keep going back and forth because, again, when I think of eat the frog in the morning, I think about all the things that I could do creatively. So maybe I could do fall within 4 and 5. I think it depends on the day. Depends on what I'm working on. Depends on what that to-do list and what color it is that I'm tackling first. So, but I like this one, strategy 6, getting things done. So GTD. So when we're talking about this, it was invented by David Allen in the early 2000s. So this is pretty recent in comparison. According to Allen, the first step to taking or for getting things done is to write down everything you need to do. Hello, sticky notes, way to do this. By freeing up your brain power, and instead of relying on task management tools, you can focus on acting and not remembering what you need to do. Using this method, you can capture all your upcoming work in one place. And then once you've written everything down and everything that you need to do, you're going to sort that out and then you're going to prioritize it. So for example, you might have work that you no longer need to do and that goes in the trash. You're going to work on things that eventually needs to be done, like what Marty's doing with his presentations, but it doesn't have to be done right this minute. And then you're going to look on the other tasks of how important they are and prioritize it that way. This allows you to kind of look and get everything done. Now, I do this, and Marty, you know this, I write everything down. I have all the technology in the world with all my different calendars, but I still print out a calendar every single month. I actually do it like in January, print out the whole year. And month by month, I write down the things that I'm going to have to get done on a day. And I look ahead. I like it on a piece of paper. And then I, from that point, we'll take a sticky note when, like on Monday for the entire week of what needs to get done. And then I make my sticky notes for each day. So I am a big, big component of this. And I don't know if it's good or bad. I get it done. And like when I cross it off, I feel accomplished. But it is one thing that to me has really, really helped me, especially because as I get older, I can't even remember why I walk into a room sometimes. So if it's written down, I don't have to think about it. I just go to my sticky
notes. A lot of comments I can make on that one, but I will pass.
Hey, I'm keeping it real, keeping it real.
I'm a big, big, big note taker. And as far as my list, it's like a mental exercise. About every 2 days, I rewrite it. I have a little clip in my book. I turn it over. And as I'm sitting here, I'm doing notes that I'll transfer over. And then when it doesn't look neat, because there's too many crossouts, I'll start over. But it's something I pretty much do at the end of the day. And it helps me really reorganize. Or sometimes midday, I'm like, okay, there's a lot of chicken scratch going on. So I take a 5-minute break and I rewrite it and prioritize things. I use more digital than you do because of my calendar invites. But there's something about handwritten that is soothing to me.
I accept the invites and then I go write it on my calendar. I like, you know, how many times, I mean, in honesty, because of our jobs and what we do with NASM and then our, primary jobs, we have a ton of different calendars. And if your calendars don't merge, you're overlapping something. Oh, I didn't know I had a meeting or I forgot I had this, because it's just all over the place. If you have one central location, it's something you can look at. I'm telling you.
What if you lose it though, Wendy? I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm not going to lose it. It sits on my kitchen table. It doesn't move until I travel and then it goes in my bag. But if you guys have any questions for Marty and I before we go over the key takeaways and give you our contacts, please go ahead and put them in the comments because we definitely want to make sure we get them answered. However, hopefully you enjoyed what we talked about. And I think the big key takeaways is, do you have a plan to be organized and successful? And if not, take today and try it out. Think of all the strategies. We talked about 6 different ones and think, well, okay, maybe which one do you want to try if what you're currently doing isn't working? And then you've got to look at what are your priorities from order of importance to not as important. And then you're going to have to think about how you're going to organize those. And then you have to think too, are the techniques that you're using something that you want to continue using? Is it something that's going to improve the quality of your life? It's going to make you less stressful. It's going to help you if you're having memory problems. So I think all of it is very important. And as you can tell, Marty and I, again, we have known each other for 20 years. I know what time he gets up and I know what time he goes to bed and I know when I can call and when he's with, out doing what he needs to do. And that's just because he's very, very regimented. I know exactly what he's doing. I'm a hot mess. However, I'm organized in my own mind and I go day by day. So we both get it done. I feel like we're both pretty effective of getting, or we're effectively good at getting things done and prioritizing it. But again, you've got to think what's going to be the best for you because everyone's different.
Great. And last second, there's a question that came in here. So they're giving us a positive comment. So thank you for saying that the podcast is great. We do these every Thursday at 3 p.m. We've been doing them since 2020. So feel free to go back to NASM's YouTube channel, put Master Instructor Roundtable in, and or any place that you would download a podcast. You can go back and look at all of our previous podcast. We've covered everything. So there's a lot of great information out there. And let me see, logged in late. Okay. Taking the course. Congratulations. We can't wait till you come back telling us you're certified. I'm glad you like the info. Stay at home, dad of 4 with 1 in tow. God bless. So time efficiency. This, you couldn't have logged into a more impactful Master Instructor Roundtable for your first one. So best of luck with all that. So Wendy, thank you so much for all that you do here on the Master Instructor Roundtable. Your great comments, great feedback. And for all of you that joined in, thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you next week on the Master Instructor Roundtable.